This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Are we on now officially?
We are on officially.
Wait a minute. You waved your hand and you blinked your eye.
It's all part of being a production assistant. You learn these moves.
I'm impressed. I mean, Alan, you know, because you and I are easily impressed, right?
Very,
very easily impressed.
I'm glad to know that.
I didn't want this to go to think you look like a professional, you know. But
I'm trying.
I know.
It's a hard uphill climb.
This is the Team Martech Hour, and the team abandoned me today. So it's the Joe Martech Hour with special guest star Dr. Alan Love. And I love that part because when you're a, quote, an attorney, you technically are a juris doctor.
That is correct.
Yeah. So it's just kind of neat, you know, to another quote, PhD, but don't let him operate on you.
No, definitely. But he outranks both of us. He
outranks? Well, yeah, but don't get downwind of him. You know,
okay.
1-888-221-8990. Now, this is an important thing. Write this phone number down. You got to keep it next to your phone unless you're driving. If you're driving, forget what I'm saying right now. But it's 1-888-221-8990, and that's toll-free from any place, including the Bahamas, because I could listen to this show in the Bahamas. I was impressed when I was over there a couple weeks ago. That was kind of neat. So, Team Martech started off doing radio shows in around 2004, and the concept was very simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor, been many, 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 many years, lots of clients here and in 13 other states. But in my not too humble opinion, in order to be a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals to the benefit of your client. So we started doing the radio shows with Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. And the word independent means a big deal because an independent doesn't work for one insurance company. The independent works for the client, and he may have 2, 3, 15, 20 companies. Dan happens to have pushing 100 companies under his umbrella, which, in my not too humble opinion, again, makes him the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. At the same time, Greg Fasula, attorney, got involved with the two of us. The attorney became an important part because legal questions come up constantly. And in fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that in the next hour. But most importantly are the words wills and trust, but other questions come up that need assistance. After that, we added Mr. Vince Rosino, CPA, back again, tax questions, things to do with legal items. I mean, the tax code's only 70,000 pages, so it's a little bit complicated. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, happens to be the hardest working realtor that I've ever met in my entire life, and I've known her since 1980. And she's only 30. Now, this is really a miracle.
Wow.
You know, but you know how it is. Women can perform these miracles.
She was precocious
as
a child.
Right. Which leads me to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who Mike has just done more good for people than anybody I know personally, other than Dan saving people money. But getting people into the right vehicle to finance a house, helping them sell or buy a house with the right vehicle. And that's critical thing. So our concept of our group is to educate people about how to invest, what their goals might be, and or how we can help them save money on these different arenas. Understand, in our group there's over 200 years of combined experience. So one of the perks of getting old is a lot of experience, and you learn a whole bunch of stuff over a long period of time that you don't learn in school that you learn School of Hard Knocks, and we've been able to help an awful lot of people. So just a quickie, I've got two particular circumstances, and they both may be listening to me today, so I'm not going to use names. One is a particular lady who's having a bit of a problem with her mortgage, and she has a pretty substantial mortgage payment each month, and she's only working part-time, so she's having a bit of a problem making the payments. Well, I thought maybe a reverse mortgage would take her out of that so she wouldn't have to make a payment, but she owes too much money on the house to make that work. The interest rate she's paying is extremely good. She's in what's called an ARM, which is an adjustable rate mortgage, but just got a period to go, and she's paying a very low interest rate. But the part that I had neglected that I actually looked at in the last couple of days was her escrow account, and they're escrowing nearly $1,000 a month to pay taxes and insurance. It's somewhere between $10,000 and $12,000 a year. And I started to look at it and said, you know, there's no way that this makes any sense, because I know where her house is located, the neighborhood, etc. So I talked to her today and I said, you know, one, your homeowner's insurance. Coincidentally, she had done that on her own, and she cut her insurance bill with one agent in half. Okay, so that cuts down the amount of money necessary by at least $1,000 a year. Then I suggested strongly that she go to the county tax appraiser and see if they can reassess her house, because it's pretty easy to find out what houses are worth in that neighborhood. And very often, if you bought a house, let's say, at the top of the market a few years ago for $300,000, and now it's worth $150,000, the assessment is now based on the value of the house, not what you paid for it. So she could have been in that thing still. So there could be $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 worth of money sitting in her escrow account that could go to help her make her payments, or at least, let's face it, it's her money. That money should come back. And Pastor Dave, you had said that your lender at one time, when you had too much money in your escrow account, actually sent you a check, which they're supposed to. But sometimes the things fall apart. It isn't that there's greed, but most of these big organizations, whoever's doing this kind of work might miss one or two people, and they don't necessarily get it. So it pays you to pay attention. Third item was making sure your home is homesteaded. Now, we three might take that for granted, but not everybody understands the benefit of having your house, your residence, your primary residence, homesteaded. Number one, and this is not to be taken lightly, if you get sued for $1 million, you can lose everything you've got, but your home, if it's homesteaded, is exempt from attachment by creditors. Number two, in the state of Florida, you get discounts off of your taxes based on being homesteaded. It can be $50,000 and sometimes more that you don't pay tax on. Number three, when they raise your taxes, according to Florida rules, they can only raise the taxes roughly 3% a year, not 10, 15, 20, or 30, which they can do on commercial properties or non-homesteaded properties. So the combination of efforts could make her mortgage payment go down considerably, and there might be some money in there. So I just wanted to share these thoughts, because it isn't something we talk about every day or even think about.
Well, Joe, a lot of new people come into the state of Florida every day, and of course WCNO has a wide range of listenership. So I'd just like to ask, obviously a homestead is making the property your home, declaring it your home.
That's one you're living in, yeah.
When you say that the property is homesteaded, how does a new person that buys a house homestead it? Does he have to go to the Register of Deeds? What's the procedure?
Yeah, after you buy your house, you've got a period of time. You go down and to the where the deeds are registered at the county courthouse and simply say, I want to homestead my house. So what they want to say is, do you live there? And you say, well, of course I live there. Well, show me your driver's license. Well, if your driver's license shows you're still in New York, they don't like that. Then they want to see your electric bill, let's say, or something else that would say that you have your name and at that address. So, and you sign an affidavit. More than anything, it's intent to say you live there. Because let's say you're a high roller and you own six houses, and they're all over the world. Well, pick one as your homestead. Mm-hmm. Now, there's rules, and you're supposed to live in it more than the other ones, et cetera, but most importantly is intent. The way the government works, or legal thing, and Alan, you can jump on that one if you want, but the word intent makes a big, big difference in the law. If you intend to deceive or defraud, that can be a crime.
And the most important thing of showing intent is evidence. In other words, your electric bill with the address of the house that you're declaring
and in your
as
name.
A homestead, yeah. Or even a cable bill, a driver's yeah. license.
All those things.
All those things. The more of those things you have, the better.
Sometimes people actually sign an affidavit that says it's an affidavit of domicile, and sometimes they want that, which is notarized, and you swear to that. And it's a binding, not a binding document. It just shows that you're committing to this, and you're saying it that I promise that I'm telling you the truth. And if you ever lied and said you had two or three properties and you homesteaded all of them, you're committing a fraud. And you
will be prosecuted.
Yeah, well, you sure can be at the very least, and the odds are good. The county is not happy about it, right? They want their money back. So the key things are, one, homestead. Two, shop your homeowner's insurance every year. Don't just take for granted somebody's doing the right job. Three, check your escrow accounts and make sure that the money going in and going out are pretty equal. Now, escrow simply means when you buy your house, they set up an account and collect money from you on a monthly basis to pay your taxes, insurance, so that you don't have to pay them by yourself at the end of the year with money you may not have. So the banks very often want you to set this money aside on a regular monthly basis so there's enough in the account to pay these things when the bill comes due. So it pays you to check all those things. So what I'm hoping is for this particular lady, when everything shakes out, that we can lower her mortgage payment $500 or $700 a month, which could be a considerable savings and make life much more palatable for her.
It just amazes me when you talk about people checking their bank statements and their escrow account. It amazes me how many people just don't do that simple thing of checking every month their statements, because that's how you discover very quickly
yep.
problems that may occur.
And today, with the way the internet works for our banking accounts, we can follow them on a daily basis, even hourly, as checks come in or charges to our account, and a phone call says, hey, what is that? And it might be a legitimate and you forgot. But the key is this, it's very, very easy to check all of these things. And county governments, by the way, these are not foes. These are your tax paid by you employees, and they're there to help you. So when you go down to the courthouse or you call them, they should go out of their way to help you. And my experiences have always been extremely good with county people going out of their way to try to help so you can accomplish your goal. So that's one particular person. But let me bring up another one that came from WCNO. And this particular lady's son died 6 years ago, give or take. And he had a 401k. And for a long, long time, the people that she was talking to would not communicate with her about who would get the money out of that 401k account, which was her son's. It's his money. Now it belongs to his estate. Evidently, as this thing progressed, the beneficiaries were not named, or the documentation was not done properly, which is sad. So we helped with the death certificate with documentation, but they came back and said, because there's not a named beneficiary, an estate has to be open. Well, right away, when you say open an estate, people start to throw up and think, oh, here we go. It's going to cost me $80 million to open an estate with an attorney. Well, it's not usually free. However, because of Joe Martek, I'm not willing to drop this thing until we go through it. I don't care if it's $500 or $5,000 or $50,000 in that account. I want this thing to settle and this mother to get that money that she is due from her son. So I was hoping Greg Fasula would be here today, because I was going to give him the file and explain to him what he had to do, and that he was going to do it and not charge for it. And he was going to be happy about that.
There's an interesting thing that I read recently. We now know that you can defer taxes in an IRA. It's called a Roth IRA.
Of course.
But
no, that's not true. There is no tax in a Roth IRA. It's not deferred.
Well, That's true. I misspoke.
Yeah, thank you, that's Joe. True. You got to be careful about, you know, these old attorneys, you know. They.
Interesting article I read that some businesses who have 401ks are starting Roth 401ks.
Yeah.
Where your initial contribution is taxable.
Yep.
The matching funds are taxable.
Right.
But then when you withdraw the money, it's no tax.
Well, that's what a Roth IRA is. Just quickly, there's two types of IRAs. One's called traditional, one's called a Roth. The Roth says whatever monies you put into that thing are subject to tax, and you pay tax now. But whenever you take the money out, could be 20 or 30 years later, every dime, including all the growth, is tax-free. So let's say you put in $10,000 and now it's worth $100,000. You pay taxed on the $10,000, but the $100,000 you take out 20 years later is tax-free. So are there benefits to that? Yes and no. Here comes the caveat. 98% of the people when they retire are making less money than when they were working. I mean, that's the whole concept of retirement. Your income is going to go down. Very often, if you fall below a threshold, you don't even have to pay, let alone file for taxes. So the concept that I look at is carefully people put money into this Roth with the concept that they're going to be able to take it all out tax-free, but they may need the tax break now by putting money into a traditional IRA. Those dollars you pay no tax on. So let's take your 401k at work. Your 401k, you contribute, let's say, 3% of your paycheck, and the company matches 3% of the paycheck. All of that, there's no tax. It's a tax deduction for the company. It's going to be a tax deduction for the company regardless, and it's a tax deduction for the employee. But when they take the money out, when they officially get old and they retire, now it's going to be subject to ordinary income tax. But if you're a husband and wife with Social Security and some pension, you might be able to make as much as $40,000 or $50,000 a year and pay no tax. So is it to your advantage to go in one direction or another? Good question.
And I think it depends on age. I mean, if a 25-year-old has a good job and a 401k program with a 3% match, I would think you'd want to go a Roth 401k because of the long-term advantage of compounding, especially if it's a career job where you know you got a chance of being there 30, 40 years.
Well, stop again. Here's the concept. The money you're putting in now, you're going to pay tax on.
Right.
Okay. So do you need the tax deduction now or not? You got to weigh both those things. So let's say you're making $100,000 a year now. You're in a pretty good tax bracket. But if you can put X amount of money into this 401k, let's say $10,000 a year, you don't pay tax on that money. You get a pretty substantial tax deduction. Do you think you're going to be making $100,000 a year when you're retired? Odds are not too good. So even though it's tax-free money at that point, you have to look and say, what are the odds? And then you have to play the game. Now, I know people that have both, a Roth and a traditional. You're allowed to fund up to a maximum of $5,000 or $5,500 a year if you're under 50, and $6,500 a year if you're over 50 per year into either one or a combination of the two. And you can also contribute to a spouse's, even if she's not working, the same amount of money. There's certain rules, and you just have to learn the rules and just say which way is the best to go. So I don't know an easy answer to that question, but very often I've seen people, let's contribute to both. Now we have another problem. With certain IRAs, you can't take money out without a penalty prior to age 59 and a half. With a Roth, you have to hold it for at least 5 years before you can take money out, even if you're under 59 and a half without paying a penalty. So you got to look at what are the rules and how does it fit you. So what I'm trying to say to Alan is, yes, maybe, kind of, I'm not sure. Each individual person is just that. You're an individual. We need to look at your circumstance. What I get very concerned about is sometimes young people start saving money into a tax instrument, and then they take the money out too soon, and now they pay a penalty and tax. I have a doctor client that wanted to take a big chunk of money out of his IRA, and I just said, hey, you're going to pay a 10% penalty, plus you're in a 36% tax bracket. You're going to have a 46% hit every dime you take out of that retirement account. It's almost half the money you got to pay in taxes. You're better to go off and borrow it at 20% interest and pay it off at whatever phase you can than to take that big hit, because that hit's done. You know, you're going to go. There are all kinds of rules, guys. You just have to understand, rather than saying one size fits all, what I normally do with somebody is, hey, let's just sit down and look at you and your circumstances and your family, and let's do the best we can to achieve your goal. And how long a period of time is that goal? That can be short term, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. It can be 20, 30, 40 years, depending on your age. I had a fellow come in the office not too long ago, 80 years old, and he was kind of complaining about his other broker. He said, guy lost me $400,000. I had $1.5 million, now I'm down to $1.1 million. And I said, so what'd the broker say? He says, well, give me some time and I'll get it back for you. And he says, I'm 80. How much time do you think I've got? I said, well, your thinking changes based on how many years of life expectancy you have left. Now, when you're already in double overtime, it could be any second, you know. So you've got to put all these things into the hopper before you make a decision. Okay, class, you're supposed to be calling us and asking us questions. 1-888-221-8990. Remember, I got Pastor Dave here that knows not much, but he's learning.
I don't know much, but what I do know is substantial.
That's pretty good. We got retired prosecuting attorney Alan Love, and we've got Joe Martek, financial advisor. 1-888-221-8990. Let me talk a little bit about types of investments. Now, remember, Alan, a couple weeks ago we got sidetracked and I wanted to talk about mutual funds and exchange traded funds.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Dave, have you got this all memorized? Do you understand how these things work?
I think so. But okay, just in case, tell me again.
No, I want you to, can't you explain? This is a test now.
I'm not going to pass it.
You're not going to pass? Okay. You can't even give me a quick definition of a mutual fund?
Well, as I understand, a mutual fund is where many people sign on for the fund to make investments on their behalf into many different types of investments, like bonds and stocks in some cases.
Well, that was an answer, but it was wrong.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay.
Well, no guarantees at this end.
No, I was just a test, but yeah. You failed, but that's okay. You know, pay attention.
Okay.
So let's take this great big circle and make it a pie. Let's make it a pizza, a big 16-inch pizza. And a company owns that pizza. And what the company does, it goes out and buys stock in 100 different companies, or 50, or 30, or 40, or 90. And he puts all those companies into that pizza. So now that one great big circle has 100 different companies in it. Now, they can be big companies, little companies, medium-sized companies. They can be all kinds of different things. And very often, a mutual fund manager, which is the company that owns that whole pie, they will name it something like large cap growth. Now, that's kind of a clue. Large cap means big companies. Mm-hmm. Growth means they're looking for these companies to grow. So it's kind of a clue. So the kind of companies they put in it were not, you mentioned bonds. We'll talk about that in a minute. They're not bond companies. These are, quote, equities, big companies. Could be General Electric, could be General Motors. Who knows? But they're all big companies. Now, Pastor Dave comes along and says, hey, that's a good-looking pie. How much money is that pie? And a guy says, oh, it's $100 million. And Dave goes, you know what? I'm missing quite a few of those zeros in my checkbook, but I'd like $10,000 worth. Could be $5,000, could be $500, depending on the rules of the different fund. And they say, okay, fine, Dave. We will slice you a sliver of all 100 of those companies, and you now will own all of them fractionally. Now, what's the benefit to Pastor Dave? Well, one, he owns 100 companies. If one gets in trouble, maybe he's got 99 that are not in trouble. So the word becomes magnificently called diversify, that I'm all of a sudden into this great big pie. Now, are there negatives? Of course. One of the things about it is if one of those companies goes up 25% this year, another one might go down 4%, another one might go up 1%, another one might not go up at all. And at the end of the year, you may end up with a 5, 6, 7, 8, 10% growth, or you could end up with a 5, 6, 7, 8, 10% decline. Normally, and I'm saying normally because this is not a rule, the amount of growth and the amount of decline are not as dramatic unless we have an extreme meltdown in the stock market. So if the stock market overall goes down 30 to 40% or 50, you could too. That whole pie could go down that much. But it also could go up 20, 30, or 40% in a year based on these different companies that are inside of that pie. So that pie can consist of large cap, big companies, mid cap, medium-sized companies, small cap, kind of a clue, smaller companies. They also have a word called growth. Well, they expect the companies to grow. Then they have another word called value. Well, that means the manager that put these 100 companies together in there thinks that these are all a good deal, that maybe their price-to-earnings ratio is not as high as the other ones, so they call it a value fund. Does that make it better or worse than the others? Not necessarily. Is this easy? No. How many mutual funds are there? There are more mutual funds than there are stocks. There's over 3,000 different mutual funds, lots and lots. How do you know which one is better than another? Tough. Quote, trusted advisor. What's my goal? What am I looking to accomplish? Let's talk about the Standard & Poor's 500. Most people have heard when they listen to anything about the Dow, right? Dow is the big name.
Right, the 30 industrial companies.
30 yeah. big companies. The Standard & Poor's 500, kind of a clue. That's 500 big companies. The NASDAQ is another stock exchange that has 3,800 or 4,000 companies. I don't know how many. It's a whole ton of them. So there's all kinds of different areas that you can get into. Somebody might say, hey, Joe, I like these tech companies. You know, like Facebook and Netflix and Amazon and, you know, all of these things. Are these good deals? Well, if I had an analyst look at them and look at their price to earnings ratio, the analyst would throw up because the ratios are way out of sync, but these companies are heavy duty growth companies and they're just going gangbusters, and they probably will, but there's no guarantee that they will. So there's all different strategies when it comes into which mutual fund should I get. But the concept simply is there's a big pie full of all these companies and I want a piece of the pie. Now the manager, the company that has the mutual fund, they get a fee. Now, what's interesting is, and Alan, you and I think both are on the same page of this one, very often that fee is not totally explained or divulged to the client, how much they make, and there is also no regular basis showing the client what they're paying. But let's just use a generality. Most of these companies charge somewhere between 0.5% per year and up to roughly 5% a year, depending on the type of fund it is. Now, and what they do is, if the value of your fund, let's say, is $10, and the cost is $1 a year, they're going to take out 1/365th every single day of that $1 out of your $10 value. So I'm trying to make this simple. It's not that easy, but the bottom line is nobody works for free. Well, except ministers, pastors, right?
Closest to free as you
closest
ever get.
To free you can get. So, the concept of the mutual fund is basically so that you can spread your risk among a whole bunch of companies, and you now are quote major diversified. And some people will own 3, 4, 5, and 6 different mutual funds. Some of them might say, "Okay, give me small, mid, and large cap and value." They give me 4 different funds. Sometimes the same companies are in all of them or in some of them. It's not clear cut, and it's not that easy unless you try to read the prospectuses, which can be a couple hundred pages, which are written by attorneys for.
Well, now in today's age, I mean, you can own mutual funds that have all sorts of different investments. You can hold own funds that are strictly in gold and silver.
Yeah, that too.
You can own funds that invest in commodities, orange juice, cattle. But obviously, when you go that route, you're talking speculation. What we're talking about is good, tried and true American companies.
Now let's go here with a phone call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, good afternoon. I had a question regarding the Roth IRA and the 401k.
Go ahead.
Well, you said earlier you have a maximum amount you can do on the Roth. That I knew based on your age every year.
Right.
But if you have both, can you contribute the maximum amount to both?
Can you contribute the maximum amount to both, meaning a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA or a 401k? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
The answer is no. What happens
okay,
is...
Okay, so you have to... Okay.
Well, there's rules. Now, it gets more complicated because they're going to take, one, are you married? Two, what's your income? What's your joint income? Then you're allowed to put so much money into the 401k, and you may have not contributed the max, so you then can put money also into an outside Roth or traditional IRA. Most people, what I suggest strongly, is that when you have a 401k and the company matches, whatever percentage they match, make sure you put in the same percentage because, hey, easy math, right? If you make $50,000 a year and they allow you to put $1,500 in and they put $1,500 in, that's 100% return on your money in 1 year. You don't ever get better than 100%. So I should say never, but boy, not likely. Okay. But the Roth, see, the 401k allows you to contribute more money than the rules for an outside Roth or traditional. And even though you can have both, there's a formula based on the things that I just told you. Your age, your income, joint income, et cetera, how much you can contribute. And there's no easy answer. Each one, and I tell you right now, if you sat here right now, I wouldn't know the formula until I had to look it up. The government doesn't make it easy on us to figure this stuff out.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for the call. You know, that's a... and even though I know people by mistake have over-contributed, you're not supposed to do that because there are penalties. The government catches you and they get upset, and some pretty substantial penalties if you over-contribute.
Well, you know, all of these accounts are custodial accounts.
Right.
You have a custodian. And so usually what will happen if a mistake was made of an over-contribution, your custodian will be notifying you pretty quickly that you over-contributed.
However, what if I have a 401k at work and I have an IRA at the bank? They're not, left hand doesn't talk to the right
hand.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm. So they may not know. This is like going doctor shopping and getting a prescription from two different doctors and not telling them. You know, they're not going to know unless you divulge that. So the key thing is what you're saying. If you had all of it with one broker, let's say, who was managing your 401k and your IRA, whatever, then he'd have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that you don't get in trouble. Making sense?
If someone came to you, and isn't that one of the questions you ask them is about other investments that
are
already existing?
Absolutely.
So you would know that.
Well, I better. That's my job.
Yeah.
You know, what happens is when we have what's called a client ID form, I often call it a new account form, I'm supposed to ask you all kinds of questions. Like, where do you work? How long you been there? What's your title? What do you make? And what's your tax bracket? And where do you have money? In other words, what bank do you deal with? How much money is in that bank? You've got a 401k, about how much money is in that one? Do you have an IRA? What other money do you have? And this is called fill in the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those blanks have nothing to do with anything except to me, to make sure that you're not getting in trouble. And two, my compliance people, the broker dealers, they have somewhat of a responsibility to try to keep all of us out of trouble, which includes you, the customer, you, the client, and me, the broker, and they, the broker dealer, so that you don't, by mistake, do something you shouldn't have done. Now, let's get it complicated, Alan. We have what's called SEP, S-E-P IRAs. They allow you to put a lot more money than that $6,500 or $5,500 a year. Sometimes you can go $15,000. You have solo 401ks. If you're self-employed, you between you and your wife, you might be able to put $50,000 a year and not pay tax on it, be tax deferred. There's all kinds of wrinkles. But that's why it's difficult to describe each one of these things here, because I have to look at an individual, and that individual is just that. They're different than the one sitting next to them, and their things that they're looking to accomplish are different. So we have to make sure we're doing the right thing.
Give the number.
8221-8990. You know, I got an attorney here. It's hard for attorneys not to talk. You know, I mean, they get paid by the word. So 1-888-2. See, now he's not getting paid, but he doesn't know that. 1-888-221-8990. And go right ahead. Don't let me stop.
What I was going to say is that what we're trying to do on this show is, as you've said many times, educate people. And it just seems to me that in my experience, from what I've seen, when you get people who truly are interested in helping you to keep you out of problems, because really the most important thing about your money is you, what you want to do with it. It's your goals. Your needs. That anybody who says to you, if you invest money with me, I can make you this, I can make you that. And then you wind up sometimes getting into real trouble. But the point is what Joe and the team are doing is they are looking over your whole situation. They're making sure that the rules are being followed the best they can to keep you out of trouble. And also, if there are holes in your financial plan and what you're trying to do to benefit your family, it's part of their job to help you to navigate those holes and to shore them up.
You know, it's like, I know Bernie Madoff's getting 3 square meals a day, but he doesn't, you know, get too much freedom. I don't want to join him. So we want to do the right thing for people. We have another caller. Caller's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Good. Joe, at the age of 60, if all you had after, a divorce in life was $45,000, what would you do with it?
Well, here we go. You're ready? You're 60. Are you married again or no?
No.
You have children?
They're all grown.
Grandchildren?
One.
Okay. Are you going to get married?
No.
You're getting smarter all the time. You know, I hate to tell you this.
It took a while.
Well, hey, I hate to tell you. You ever notice that we're born and we know everything, and the older we get, the less we know?
Absolutely.
You know,
that's true.
That's it. Okay, you're working?
Yes.
Okay. And let's just take a generality. You make give me an annual income approximate.
Let's just say $25,000.
Okay. Now, your goal is to retire someday, or do you figure you're going to have to work until you drop dead? What do you think?
Well, more than likely, I'll work till I drop dead.
Okay. So now I got this $45,000, and what do I want to do with that $45,000? Do I want to go buy a car or boat, or I want to save this for my old age, or do I want to subsidize my income? What do you want to do with it?
I want it to grow.
Okay. Now, next question is, how much of a risk taker are you?
Well, I have been married 3 times.
No, I didn't say how smart you were. I want to know how much of a risk taker you are.
Well, I don't know. I think each one of those is a relative amount of risk.
And boy, no kidding. Anyway, here's what I normally talk about when we're 60 years old, and I'm looking at, okay, I want that money to grow, and I want it, let's say, in 10 years to be at least $100,000. Let's just take that number. That's almost, we want to grow by roughly 10% a year. Is that a fair number?
Yes.
Okay. So now I look at what are my investment options without taking undue risk, and what can I do to protect it? So let me just talk generally. If I'm listening to you right now, after you and I sat down for another 20 minutes and beat this thing up, and I'd say, hey, we just got to keep you away from blinds, that's for sure, because you might get in trouble again. But we want to go and look at and say, let's look at an investment that has a 10% dividend right now that is not what we call an unduly high-risk thing. Now, the ones that I like right today are called REITs, R-E-I-T, Real Estate Investment Trust. There are companies out there that do mortgages and or real estate, commercial most of the time, or mortgages can be houses or commercial, whatever it might be. And most of the ones that I follow on a daily basis are paying around a 10% dividend. Now, they have to pay out 90% of their profits every month, because that's their every quarter, because that's their charter. So literally that 10% dividend has been a pretty consistent thing. Now, is there risk? Of course there is. But here comes the $64,000 question. When I look at the economy today, the economy is looking okay. It may not be booming, but it's not going backwards. And if you've lived for the last 3, 4, 5 years in Florida or any place, you've watched the real estate market somewhat recover, and it's moving along at a decent pace today. Interest rates are still very, very low. And I predict, and I'm not 100% right all the time, let me tell you that, because I'm not any brighter than you when it comes to women, by the way, just file that one away, that the real estate... In fact, I may be dumber, but I'm not going to admit it. Anyway, the real estate market might stay good for the next 2, 3 years, 4 years. So very often we can go into these things saying, hey, let's collect our 10% dividend. But we also have the right to sell them at any time, any day, 5 days a week when the market's open with no penalty. And we can anytime we want. These are 100% liquid. The only things I deal with are 100% liquid. We also have other words, magic words, called stops. And you may or may not have heard that word stop, but we can do what is called stop loss. And let's say we paid $10 a share for these things that are paying 10%. And I look at you and I said, okay, fine. If it goes down 10% in value, what do you think? We just sell it automatically just in case we pick the wrong one. That stops your loss, and that can be done automatically in a computer. Let's say it goes up 10 or 20% on top of the 10% dividend. We may want to sell it and take the profit and look at something else. So we can put certain protections into the system to look, and hopefully at the end of 10 years, instead of sitting at 45, you might be sitting at 100. But we may not be into the same investments. And we may not be at 100. You just don't know. But we take a calculated risk and see what we're going to accomplish. Am I making any sense?
Gotcha.
And yes, you diversify. You don't put all of your money into one.
No, of course not. Of course not. The key is what you and I would do is sit down and normally we beat this thing up and look at our goal and look at our objectives and how we're going to get there. But on the other hand, when you're 60, it's not like you're 30 or 40. Or even 50. So the clock is, you know, starting. You got some gray hair on your head now, I hate to tell you. If you're Pastor Dave over here.
I think every one of them is gray.
You should see Dave. He's pure white. anyway, one of the things I'm saying is, you know, when I've had people say before, you know, Joe, you know, I'm in my third quarter. I said, you're in double overtime. You know, how much longer are you going to live? So we have to put those things into the equation and do the best job we can. But in the meantime, remember this. We're always, everything that Joe Martek does or recommends, unless you want something different, is 100% liquid, which means we can get in today and we can get out tomorrow.
That sounds good.
So what I'm going to do is this. You left your name and phone number with Pastor Tom, I think. One day next week. Hey, by the way, it may not be next week because I've got to go down to the Keys for mini season. I feel so bad for me going down there. You know, I often tell people, I says, you know, I can buy these things for $10 a piece in the grocery store, or I can go swim and get them for $40 a piece.
In other words, next week will be a rejuvenation week
it's
for
the
you.
The thrill of the hunt.
It's, you know, yeah. That's what it is. You know, and my body says, as long as I can still do this, I'm going to keep doing it. We're going down to Big Pine Key, and hopefully load up on some lobsters and eat a few while we're there, and bring a few back with any luck. And but what I'll do is I'll take your name and number, and I'll try to give you a call tomorrow, and we'll chit chat a little bit, and we'll set up a time where we can visit and go from there.
Very good.
Thank you, sir, for that call.
And I thank you for your time.
Bye.
Have a great day.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one, Alan, when you think about what an individual person is trying to accomplish, right?
Yeah.
And
let me ask you this question. As an alternative, he said he has about $45,000 mm-hmm. to invest, and he's 60. What about one of these index annuities? Would that be an alternative?
Now, you're using the word index, which is the wrong word. A variable means I can be in the market with insurance. Index means I'm in a fixed annuity that is smoke and mirrors.
I see.
That only has a 2 or 3% max I can earn, but it makes it look like it may not. I mean, that word index is...
The lexicon has changed in the last few years.
The word, you got to be very careful on these words. So here's what Alan was alluding to. Let's take the S&P 500. Let's just use that as an example. The S&P 500 is up since January 1st till now, July, whatever the date is, 19th, about what this year?
S&P's up about 8%.
Okay, it's closer to 9, but that's okay. But I must, just a test for Alan to see if he's paying attention. The NASDAQ is up how much this year?
About 11.5%.
Okay. So what I do normally is this. I suggest to people that we take this $45,000, let's just say, or 50, and we put half of it in the S&P 500 and the other half in the NASDAQ 100. Now, the NASDAQ 100 is heavily loaded with Amazon and Netflix, all the big tech names, and they're up, you know, give or take around 12%. Okay. Is there a guarantee that it's going to stay like that for the year? No. Is there a guarantee it's going to go up or down between now and the end of the year? No. But here's what an insurance company does. They said, fine, we'll take that money and we'll put it over here into those two funds, 50-50. So now we're in basically 600 companies total, diversified. Then the insurance company comes over on the other side and says, here's what we'll do. Once a year, we'll look at that pile of money. And if that pile of money goes up, we'll lock that number in. And then when you start taking income out, we will guarantee you, we the insurance company, a 5% income on that money for the rest of your life. And every year that it goes up, we will reset it on that anniversary date, and then your income would go up. But let's say the market tanks and it goes down 50%. Insurance company says, nope, we'll let you stay at that high number. We'll let you stay at the high number. Once they set it up, it can't go back down. Let's take another wrinkle. Insurance company says, okay, you put in this money. Let me use $100,000, easy math. And market doesn't go up. We're going to guarantee you a 5% income on that. But if you don't take any money out, we will have it grow at 6% a year, which means in 12 years, it will double. As long as you don't take any money out and the market never goes up, you would go up 6% a year. Rule of 72 means you divide 6 into 72. That equals 12 years to double your money. New rule, those of you that aren't paying attention, that one probably ripped right through you. But the bottom line is it takes 12 years at 6% compounding to double your money. So what the insurance companies do, what they're saying is, hey, we want the market to win. We want this thing to go up more than 6% a year. But if it doesn't, and if things tank, we're going to protect it. Now, you have to be concerned about which insurance company. My compliance people say you have to know their claims paying ability. That's the rules I have to say. But the reality is this. I love the concept of the insured investment, especially when I take, let's say a guy 60 years old like him, if he says, hey, my window is 10 years before I want to touch it, the odds are pretty decent that we can double that money. Maybe not, maybe better, maybe worse, but we have insurance to protect it. So there's, and very often, you know, Alan, somebody might come along and say, hey, Joe, I like the concept of that insured investment, but let's take 20,000 instead of putting the whole 45. Let's go and put maybe some of that into the REITs, into real estate, and maybe we can do a little better short term and maybe be for a year or two or three, then we can always sell that and do something else. So you can do different strategies, but you got to sit down and beat it up and think about it and make sure that it fits.
You just hit on really the golden way of making money. If we knew which sectors were going to lead the way every 6 months or so, it would be easy to become a millionaire quite quickly. But that's part of the fun. That's part of the game. Well, you have to diversify.
I had one of my peer group. He said, you know, if you're the only guy in the world that never make a mistake, you'd be the only guy in the world with all the money. So what you have to do is try to protect yourself the best you can. Here's another one. Let's just take it. And I've had quite a few clients that say, hey, Joe, marijuana is becoming legal. In 6 states, you can get recreational. I say, well, you can't invest in that stuff because the federal government doesn't like it. But medical marijuana, you can invest in. And these are called penny stocks. They're high, 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 high risk. But maybe they'll take off like a rocket. Maybe they won't. So when people say, well, gee, I'd love to do that. And I say, well, Joe, what do you think? I said, look, the key is this. They're high risk, high risk, high risk. What you have to do when it comes to high risk is says, if I lose every dime of that money, it's not going to take any food off my table. That's how much money you put in. Whatever you can afford to risk and lose 100% of. Maybe it'll win. Maybe it won't. If we stay back where we were talking earlier with massive diversification and an insured investment, we're protecting ourselves. We're never going to hit a home run and make that 40, 50, 80, 100% overnight. What was it Alan was talking about? Which company was that did the initial primary?
Blue Apron.
Yeah. Now, most of us, maybe you've heard of Blue Apron, maybe you haven't, but what they do, they deliver food to your door that's all prepackaged, ready to cook, and you just cook it and put it together, and it's all done. It's like all your shopping is done for you, and they've done pretty well. And I understand the foods they deliver are pretty good. I've not personally done it.
But I haven't either, but obviously there are a lot of fans already, and the company was strong enough to have an initial public offering where they're now trading in the open market, but there was a problem that a Bigfoot came and sort of stomped them 2 days ago. Amazon said they're getting in their business, and the stock dropped 30% in one day.
What happens is this. An initial public offering means here's a company that Pastor Dave and Joe own, and we're doing pretty good, but if we make it a stock company, we can raise a few million dollars, and we can make this company grow like crazy. And we can hire some really intelligent people because Dave and I, we may look pretty, but we're not the brightest bulbs on a tree. Well, forget the pretty part. But anyway, the concept is when we do this initial public offering, we get somebody to underwrite it, and they come up and they'll say, fine. They issue the stock, and the price comes out today at this initial public offering. And what did Blue Apron come in at?
Came out at $10 a share.
And then Amazon announces shortly afterwards that they're thinking about doing the same thing as Blue Apron. Well, all of a sudden, a Blue Apron stock went down to $6. So if you bought it at 10, within a week, you just lost 40% or 30-some percent of your money, right?
Right. And there's one thing I want to clarify.
That's if you sell it now, by the way.
But one thing I want to clarify, let's say you bought it at 10, that you were fortunate enough to get on the initial offering and you got shares at $10
right.
a share, and you said to your broker, put a 10% stop on it at $9 a share.
Right.
And so you feel you're protected then. The most you can lose is 10% if it doesn't go well. Well, that didn't happen when Amazon made the announcement. The stock opened substantially below what would have been your $9 stop point, and that is where you would have gotten out. So there is a danger with stops.
What happens is if you put a stop in with 10%, and when all of a sudden it plummets like a rock rather than going down gradually, and they sell it as quick as they can, that 8-second delay might have cost you 10% because if it's running.
Yeah.
And that's what does happen very often. So, yeah, there's things you can do to protect. There's all kinds of things that happen. But the reality is this. If you want to be 100% safe with your money, you go to the bank. And the bank's going to pay you a quarter or a half or maybe one if you're really lucky. And if you tie it up for a couple of 5 years, maybe 1.5, which is almost enough to cover inflation, but not quite. Mm. most people, and I have a lot of retired people, they say, Joe, I got $200,000, and if I put it in the bank, I'm going to get $2,000 a year to live on. That's all they're going to give me. I need more than $2,000. Well, 5% on $200,000 is now $10,000 a year. So all of a sudden, instead of getting $100 a month, they're getting $1,000 a month or more. So the concept is we have to look at the goal, what we're trying to accomplish, and how we can do it, and minimize the risk or eliminate as much as humanly possible to achieve that goal. So we have all kinds of different instruments. Debt instruments. We didn't get into ETS, but we will next show.
The one following, actually.
I know, I can't do it. We're going to repeat this show next week, which is maybe this fellow that was married three times, he might get married again between now and then, and we can put a caveat on the show, said, was three, now four? I'm sure right now he's throwing up, but that's okay. The key is that I'm trying to say is debt instruments are not common stock and don't have this much volatility, and they're paying between 5 and 6%.
We were talking a lot today about diversifying. Well, don't you also want to diversify your risk tolerance? In other words, put some of your money in a very conservative investment and maybe put a little money all the way into aggressive growth.
It's very possible. Yeah. You have to look at yourself and say, and exactly what's happened. I've had many clients that have done just exactly that. Especially when they're younger, they've got time. And you have to look. If you're 75, 80 years old, you're not going to think like somebody that's 45 or 50. Or you shouldn't be anyway. If you are, you're fooling yourself, right? Mm. I mean, look at you, Dave.
Seriously, yeah, I can't even do that anymore.
Are we winding down?
Yes, sir.
Now, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, which is kind of late to do, we're just about out of time. But you call the station anytime during the week. You'll talk to Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom, or to Karen. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Keep that number handy. And anyway, anyone in our group can help you, we will. Whether it's to do with money, legal, taxes, accounting, insurance for your home, your car, your business, whatever it might be, real estate, mortgages. We've got a bevy of information available and a ton of experience. And in my, again, not too humble opinion, you've got some of the best people that I have been able. And by the way, we don't work for each other. We don't share commissions or fees. These are all independent people. And that was my goal, was just to get the best I could find locally. And it's taken me years and years and years to assemble this group. And then retired attorney Alan sneaks in, and luckily we don't pay him a nickel. And then, but half the time he's right, so we got to be careful.
I'm blessed to be right half the time, and I just want to wish you well on your little lobster hunt next week.
Next Wednesday and Thursday. I may have to call you from the Keys and let you know how many lobsters I have.
We'll see you the first week in August.
Onward and upward. Thank you. Until next week.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.
Our eyes. ocean's tides, the mountains hide, and still hears our prayer.